In the gospel reading today, we hear about the apostles going to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had directed them, which is up on the Mount of Olives. And it is there that they draw near and they worshiped him. And yet it says, and some doubted. Now think about all that. For 40 days they had seen our Lord. He appeared to them on Easter night. Remember, they panicked. They thought they were seeing a ghost. So he ate fish and drank with them. He appeared to them how many times? Thomas, who doubted, he saw Jesus and believed. And he was able to profess an act of faith that the others had not been able yet to make. My Lord and my God. And all of the things that happened during those days, we're told that our Lord opened the scriptures for them and told them every single passage which referred to him in the Old Testament. That's 300 passages that he went through with his apostles, laying it all out for them. And still, they doubted. Not all of them, but some. And so we're here to worship the Lord. And how many of us might have some little doubt somewhere in the back of our mind? And while we can say, what's wrong with those apostles? 40 days Jesus appeared to them. What's wrong with you and me? 40 years. 2,000 years at this point, the Lord has been doing extraordinary work. He promised that he would be with us all days till the consummation of the ages, and still we doubt. How pathetic. Really, how pathetic can we be? Don't answer that, because it only gets worse. So we just see the human weakness. We see it in the apostles. We see it in ourselves. And I realize that most of us aren't doubting the catechism. We know in our head who Jesus is. The apostles didn't have a catechism. They had to write one. It started out with the Apostles' Creed. Here are the things you have to believe. And they're the ones that point out to us who he is, born of the Virgin, through the power of the Holy Spirit. They make it very clear. This is what they believed. So the doubt wasn't so much in their head. The doubt was in their heart, just like us. I doubt that there's anybody here, no pun intended, but there's probably nobody here who doubts in their head whether Jesus is true God and true man, whether he's born of a virgin, whether he is the second person of the Trinity and the Son of God, whether he's the Savior of our souls. And yet, when push comes to shove and we have to put it into practice, yeah, we rely on ourselves. Or we become really, really stupid and we rely on the government. And talk about dumb. But that's the kind of stuff that we do. It's like, how about turning to prayer? How about turning to the Lord? How about trusting in Jesus? Yeah, and then we tap dance around it, and we've got every excuse in the book and all kinds of other things, which is just another word for some worshiped and some doubted. Because if we didn't doubt the Lord, we would have total confidence in him. And the amazing thing is that when you read some of the saints, they will tell us that we are going to receive from the Lord only to the level that we have confidence in him. So how much confidence do we have? Yeah. Remember, our Lord told us if we had the faith size of mustard seed, you know, we'd be able to do all these extraordinary things. Well, the mustard seed's about that big. And still we're not seeing the stuff happening. So we have to look at ourselves this way. Because just like the apostles who gathered and worshiped him, that's what we have just done. We adore him, we worship him, we know that he is God. And then we doubt. And that's the part that we have to work on changing. That's where we have to be able to get this out of our heads and into our hearts, as I keep on hammering at, so that we can truly live this, so it changes our lives. And maybe that was some of the problem that the apostles had. If our Lord is really who he says that he is, then I have to change my life. I can't be living like a pagan anymore. Or let's just switch that around. I can't be living like an American who's baptized but, you know, gives lip service to Jesus, but his hearts are far from him. No, our hearts have to be with him. He's with us all days till the consummation of the ages. The question is, are we with him? That's the part that all of us have to look at within ourselves. As things continue to progress, and as they continue to get worse, remind yourself, the vast majority of people are going to fall away. The vast, vast, vast majority are going to fall away. And that's not because they don't believe that God exists and they don't believe that Jesus is the second person of the Trinity. And no, that's not because they didn't have it in their head. It's because they didn't have the love of God, the love of our Lord Jesus in their heart. That is where the problem is. That is why we have to be able to get this straight. You have the knowledge. Do you have the charity? Do you have the love of God in your heart? Because that's the only thing that's going to keep us faithful. Nobody is going to remain faithful to our Lord simply because they know the truth in their heart. They're going to remain faithful to our Lord because they are in love with Jesus. And if you're not, guess what's going to happen? You're going to go with the majority. The vast majority. Remember, Jesus spoke about the people who would remain faithful. He called them a remnant. He called them a little flock. It wasn't a huge number. And so that's where we're headed. And if we're going to be faithful, we have to have that love for our Lord. No doubts. I know, there's already no doubt in your mind. That's not the issue. The doubt is in the heart. Should I really give my entire life over to him? Because that means I have to change. We don't like change. Should I really put this into practice and love Jesus with my whole heart and soul and strength? Yes. But that means I've got to change. If I'm going to love Jesus with my whole heart and soul and strength, I can't love my sins anymore. I can't be doing all these stupid things anymore. I have to make a change. Yeah, do I really want to do that? See, this is where the rubber hits the road. Not whether we have the knowledge, whether we have the love. Take what you know. Because that can't change. The truth cannot change. And get it into the heart so that we can love in truth. That we can love the truth. Because remember, the truth is a person. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So we don't just believe in truths about Jesus. We love Jesus who is the truth. So the truth you already have in your mind isn't going to change in the 1 foot between your foot and your head and your heart. But it needs to be brought to life. That's what the charity does. It brings to life what you already have in your head. That's what he's looking for from us. That's the change that he desires. So that's a great thing for all of us to look at, because we have these little reminders, all the extraordinary things that happened. And there are all kinds of extraordinary things that have happened in your life and in mine. But the extraordinary things aren't what's going to make the difference. We ooh and ah at the extraordinary things, and then they're over, and then we move on. It's not that we forgot that they happened, but in the ordinary day-to-day stuff, that's where the trouble is. That's where the love has to be there. Just like in a marriage, a few times a year, there are extraordinary things, and you can ooh and ah at them. The other 362 days, pretty ordinary. And you better not fall out of love in the ordinary times, because that's the majority. And you don't love the other person because two or three times a year there's something extraordinary. The extraordinary is there because the ordinary is in place already. Love this person with your whole heart and soul and strength. Love that person with your whole heart and soul and strength. That's what he's looking for from each one of us. That's what's going to turn us around. That's what's going to help us to worship him and to entertain no doubts.